Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again from a nutrient green field in the middle of the mitten from the mothership, the Black Diamond Group mothership, with my good friend Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle. Craig, welcome back to the mothership.
I'm going to say two words to you, Todd. Pure Michigan.
Pure.
This whole show is going to be pure Michigan.
Well, we're born and raised in Michigan.
Of course.
So we are pure Michigan from the core, as are most of the listeners, although we are podcasted across this beautiful planet Earth and beyond.
Everywhere.
SoundCloud. Because I'm told this goes beyond into infinity.
And beyond.
And beyond. But Craig, what a huge show. This show is going to be huge. This is going to be bigger than, I'm sorry, Little John. We love Little John. Bigger than the Little John shows, bigger than a New Year show. This show is going to be unbelievable. We have a special guest and tons of law to get to. And yes, this show is going to be heavily focused on one word.
Cannabis.
Cannabis.
Yeah.
I have information here in regards to my friend Sandra provide us some information in regards to what the VA is doing and thinking.
Okay.
We have some information regarding firearms and the U.S. Department of Justice. We have the five-member Michigan Marijuana Board now organized by the governor, and we're going to talk about those panel members and plenty of more information.
It's crazy when this law show talks about law. I love it.
You've got us on. You have us on a roll about law.
It's just weird like that. Did you have a good holiday weekend? Did you have a good Memorial Day last weekend?
Had a great weekend. Myself and Karen, my significant other, we were backcountry camping in Pitchard Rocks.
Ooh,
up in the UP.
Pretty area.
But here's some information for you.
Okay.
If you have never been to Pitchard Rocks, a lot of folks up in Munising, they've taken the boat ride, the kayaks. If you really want to see Pitchard Rocks, I recommend you hike in.
Okay.
Whether you're a day hiker or you camp overnight. We hiked in. I always stay at Mosquito Beach, Mosquito River. And it's named that for a reason. I have poison something now. Look.
Oh, great.
Can you see that? And you hugged me this morning.
Don't rub yourself against me, man. I don't want to know.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I wasn't planning on it, but we did hug when you walked in this morning. Mosquito Beach is so beautiful with the cliffs and the colors and the river and whatnot. But if you're going to hike in, the Mosquito Beach Trail is complete. It's carnage. There's trees down. There's muck everywhere. I mean, it's carnage. So I recommend you take Mosquito Falls.
Okay.
That way to Mosquito Beach. It's a beautiful trek. But here's the thing, folks, and here's where people make mistakes and people get hurt. If you're gonna do a day hike, make sure you're hydrated.
Sure.
We came across hikers on two occasions. We had to assist them with hydration because you could see one, and it's not their fault. They weren't dressed properly. They didn't have enough adequate hydration with them. So we offered some of our own hydration, and they were fine.
Well, that's good. Good people you are.
Seriously.
No,
if you're going to go hiking or do anything in the backcountry or just outside, one, make sure you're hydrated prior, and two, always bring water with you and let someone know where you are going.
And on top of it, because even though it was probably a little chilly, I'm assuming, it probably wasn't very warm.
I thought it was perfect, but yes.
Okay. You think, oh, proper clothes. Sun's not out. It's not really all that warm. You don't need as much water. You know, but that's a myth. You need water all the time.
When you're out, if you're outside, period, the wind's blowing. Even if it's cloudy, you're still losing. You need hydration.
Yep.
And here's something interesting.
Okay.
I don't want to, it's the morning. People are eating breakfast. But if you happen to urinate, I'm being serious.
I know you are.
My good buddy, Dr. Brian Chamberlain from Saginaw, is one of my best friends. He's my personal orthopedic surgeon. I love him.
Okay.
You know, we go hiking a lot. And he said, Todd, he goes, you know, are you hydrated? I go, I feel hydrated. He goes, the last time you had to go to the bathroom, what was the color of it?
Right.
And that's a sign of hydration.
Yep.
That's not disgusting.
Or dehydration.
We're a law show, but I watch a lot of medical shows. So I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV, but I'm just saying I was told by a doctor.
You play one on the radio, though.
Yeah. Hey, we have a huge show.
Yeah, I know.
No, I'm serious.
I know.
But before we get to the huge show, and this person sitting to my left, your right.
Yes.
Pitcher Rocks, unbelievable.
I'm glad you had a great. I'm glad you had a great time.
I'm just saying.
I'm really glad you did.
I'm just saying.
What color was your urine?
I don't talk about those things. Want to know the name of my fish?
Yes.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Hey.
As long as it wasn't dark yellow.
I'm not talking about that. Nor are you going to find
out. Not the fish, the urine.
You're not going to find out. Well, if that's a sign you need
that
to be hydrated.
That's exactly right.
And I use an SteriPen. A SteriPen is a 90-second ultraviolet light pen. And there's a filter that comes with it. You put on top of the bottle and you put it into the water.
Oh, okay.
And instead of the old filtering process that you pump.
Yep.
A SteriPen, ultraviolet light. I do it twice. I'm fine. I'm not fine, but I mean, we're walking.
You're fine.
We're here.
Fine, Todd.
Hey, let's welcome to the show my firstborn.
Your pride,
Rachel. Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Craig, this is a special moment. Rachel,
yes,
welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you guys for having me.
It's amazing. You're here. Hi, Rachel.
Hello.
This is on 3 different radio stations that cover like half the state. Hundreds of thousands of people are hearing your voice right now.
Listen, no pressure.
No, none whatsoever. None whatsoever.
No, that's huge. I know you guys have a great show here, and I have friends that listen. I have family that listen. It's exciting stuff.
You're going to help us out, too. You've got stories to talk about.
I do.
Even though you don't actually listen.
Hey, now.
I'm just saying.
Don't say that on the record.
Okay, it's just our secret.
She was raised by me. She doesn't have to listen. She already knows.
She knows what half the story is about anyway.
Yeah, she already knows everything. She's heard it before. But no, I'm so happy to have her on the show. And she's a chip, Fire Up Chips. And my child, I don't want to disclose where, but she's currently, she just finished up her second year of law school.
Oh, cool.
And I'm so proud of her. She's 3.7 GPA plus.
Well, she's your daughter. Come on.
I was not a 3.7 in law school, but she is definitely is kicking A in law school. So I'm really proud of you, child.
Thank you, Dad. Thank you. Runs in the family. I get it from you.
Absolutely. And Craig, you had some questions for Rachel.
So what kind of law are you studying? Are you following in your father's footsteps, or are you branched out in a different way?
Honestly, I'm going with the flow right now. Okay. I love criminal law because I grew up around it, obviously, with my father, and I've seen the great work he does for people, and I want to help others. For now, I'm just going to go with the flow and see what happens and how I can best serve the community.
At some point, you will have an epiphany, and you'll go, I want to be an environmental lawyer or something like that. I don't know. Maybe you won't.
Hey, you never know.
You never know. Now, obviously you're getting into law, the family practice. What have you learned from your father about, obviously he's been a lawyer your entire life, correct?
Correct.
What have you learned from him about the law and about being a lawyer?
Well, I could go on for hours.
Yeah,
but,
I'm sure you could.
But we do not have that much time. I would say the single most important thing that he has taught me is great customer service. You know, it's all about the customer. And honestly, he really does care about his clients and other people. And I'm very grateful that he instilled those values in me, because I do care now the same amount that he does when I meet clients at my current job. And I really do feel passionate about helping others. So customer service, baby. We're here for the customer.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree, Todd. Did a good job with this.
I'm proud of her. Also, her mom deserves a lot of credit. I mean, it does take two, and she's got a great mom and a great support system. As anyone out there who has a child, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what that child is doing, whether they're in school or doing something else. What is important is to tell your child, one, that you love them. Mm-hmm. Two, that it doesn't matter what they do, you can never let me down. And I'm proud of you. Yep. I don't think young folks can hear that enough, nor do they hear that enough. And it's important to hug your child, because everyone wants to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've always encouraged our children, and we're proud of them. It doesn't matter as long as our kids are happy and healthy. So Rachel's going to stick around for the show. She actually has a story here.
Oh, wow.
Story here.
Bringing stories and everything to the show.
Absolutely.
Pretty soon it's going to be the Todd and Rachel show.
No.
You're not going to have room for me.
Well, there's always room for you, Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle.
All right.
Last week, by the way.
Yes.
Before we get to all this plethora of information.
All this law.
We got a ton here. I attended a meeting in the town of Lupton. Have you ever been to Lupton?
I have been to Lupton.
What a great, I got to tell you, Ogama County, I spent some time there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great place. Before, when I got to Lupton, I arrived, it's a small town.
Right.
Right off of 33, yep. Rose City, turn right. I still don't know where I was at. My GPS, it didn't even register on my GPS.
Wow.
But we ended up, before this meeting in Lupton, at the new Sunrise Cafe and Cabin Rentals. There's a cafe there owned by Carl and his wife, Carl McGregor, great guy and his wife. And it's called the New Sunrise Cafe. It's been there for decades. They rent cabins. It's such a great cafe. It's the food, the cooking, the atmosphere. The owners are there, the wait staff. It's probably about 2 hours from where we are at right now.
Right.
It's worth the trip to Lupton, Michigan.
Beautiful.
So, you know, I can't wait to go back. But I attended a meeting that was put on by a drug prevention organization. And the lady running it was a nice lady. I think it was a Northern Michigan Drug Prevention Organization.
Okay.
Obviously, they're trying to help people with recovery and whatnot and to educate individuals. This meeting was in regards to cannabis. There was a prosecutor from the Michigan Prosecutors Association, Ken, who was putting on a presentation, and it was very objective. He did a great job. It wasn't biased one way or another. In the meeting were members of various townships throughout Ogama County. And half the people I felt were pro-cannabis. The other half were against it. And it's my opinion, and I could be wrong. I might get a lot of negative feedback on this.
Wait. You? Wrong? Stop.
As I've traveled the state of Michigan and have attended these township, village, and communities across the state, the pushback has been from some of the older generations. Okay. Now, we're born in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the pushback have been from people in their 60s and mostly 60s, 70s, more mid-60s and beyond.
Sure.
This has been a huge pushback, I feel, by that group.
Right.
I don't see any millennials, 20s, 30s, even 40-year-olds pushing back. And even 50-year-olds. In fact, the prosecutor presented statistics that the age group of 50 to 54 are some of the largest users of cannabis out there.
Well, that would make sense.
It would.
60s, early 70s, it's about the time that recreational cannabis use came into being very popular in this country. And think about the people at that point who are now objecting to it. They were probably in their 20s at that point. So they're older, and I think there's definitely a generational divide there.
There was a state trooper there. He was very professional. He was a great man. Big shout out to the state trooper who was at that meeting. Just out of privacy, I'm not going to say his name. But the Ogama County prosecutor was there, LaDonna Schultz. And I want to give a big shout out to LaDonna Schultz and Scott Williams. There's a reason behind that. I'm not going to say it has nothing to do with any case. It has nothing to do with any ongoing cases. I don't have any current cases in that county. I just want to say, if LaDonna's listening to the show, LaDonna, I just want to say it's LaDonna Schultz, and I've known her for a long time. But I just want to say that.
Maybe after we get back from the break, I'm going to push you.
She's a great lady. She's a great lady.
I'm going to push you a little farther to find out what you're talking about. Because having inside jokes on the radio show, it doesn't work out all that well,
okay,
man.
Okay, but then let me just tell you right now, real quick. No, let's tease the audience. We got a lot of law to get to. Rachel's still on the show. We got to go to break. We'll be right back, right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Here's Todd for you.
Well, thank you for that introduction, my eldest child.
I was going to say, who is that?
That is my oldest child who's currently in law school kicking A.
Taken after her dad.
Taken after her dad.
That's right.
Want to hear the story?
Yes.
Before we went to break,
Todd was at a meeting, was a drug enforcement meeting.
Great meeting. Yeah. Different views.
And you were talking about the prosecutor and...
I got up to speak. Okay. Someone had a question.
Okay.
And I said, can I answer that to the prosecutor putting the presentation on? He goes, absolutely, Todd. Answer the question.
Sure.
Well, of course, I took the opportunity to add a little more because, again...
You?
Exactly. And as I started to speak, LaDonna Schultz, the Ogama County prosecutor who does a great job, she's sitting in the back. Okay. And before the event started, her and I were just, hey, LaDonna, how you doing? Hey, Todd. How's Scott Williams doing? That's her chief assistant prosecutor.
Okay.
So when I got up to speak, I said, I just want to give a big shout out in the back there to my friend LaDonna Williams.
Whoops.
I know, right?
Whoops.
It didn't even catch my attention until after the presentation was over with at the end of the night. Then it was brought to my attention, and I'm outing myself. I felt so, I don't know, I don't get embarrassed, but she's my friend. She's a prosecutor. She's a very important person, and I want to show her nothing but respect, albeit I consider her someone that I'm not saying I'm friends. When I say we're professional.
Yeah, professional acquaintances.
Acquaintances, correct. That's
sure.
That's the level, but it doesn't mean that you can't respect somebody. I at least wanted to get her last name right because I've known her for years. So there it is. The people of Ogama County, great people. Hey, we have a lot of law to get to here.
Yes, we do.
We have tons of law to get to.
There's so many pages on this desk. It's incredible.
Let's start with a story. Rachel has a story. Rachel, what do you got there?
So knowing that I was going to come on the show, I came across a story. It involved a Pennsylvania police officer.
All right.
During Memorial Day weekend, pulled over a suspect, went to search the car, opened up the middle console, and a white powdery substance flew up in his face. And he ended up overdosing from this.
What?
It's pretty crazy. And it's a tragedy, but it's a crazy story, and I just couldn't believe it.
Overdose on, what did he overdose on? I mean, what did they know? It had to be something, heroin, cocaine, something like that.
Yeah, they're not sure. It's either a heroin or fentanyl. He lived. He's fine.
Okay.
He did have to go to the hospital.
Right.
So they're not sure, either heroin or fentanyl.
Now, Todd, I have a question for you. Well, I guess I could ask Rachel possibly as well.
Perfect.
So what kind of trouble did the person in the car get into for this?
I'm not sure, but I can imagine a lot.
I mean, because, you know, you're thinking, okay, obviously they are in possession of some kind of illegal drug, and now someone's overdosing that they're now responsible for. I mean, that can't be, that's, you know, that's got to be a sticky law thing right there to begin with, wouldn't it be?
I believe it would involve delivery of a controlled substance,
okay,
things of that nature, and possession of a controlled substance.
Right. So not even, now the fact that, even though the overdose was obviously accidental, because I don't think the person in the car was wanting him to open up and get the powdery substance and overdose on it. Would that be almost a criminal act of like an involuntary manslaughter or involuntary, I'm trying to think of the term. I'm not a lawyer here. Todd L. Levitt, help me out here. What am I thinking law-wise, or Rachel L. Levitt?
I believe there was no intent, so
okay,
maybe not anything involving manslaughter. However, there will probably be more serious charges, I would imagine.
I would think so, too. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a crazy story. And you're that's my child there. She's
yeah,
in law school.
Yeah,
and,
she's
just finished up her
park.
Second year, 3.7, has a job in a big city, and she's doing great. So, but yeah, no, she's correct. Delivery of a controlled substance, possession, more serious charges. Because the individual who had possession of the controlled substance knew it was a controlled substance.
Right.
Let's just say we don't know all the facts. Let's just say it was something illegal.
Okay.
And they were not supposed to be in possession,
sure,
let alone transporting it.
Sure.
They knew when they put it in the vehicle that it was in the form that it was currently in. Maybe they were doing something when they got pulled over and it was still in an open container or the lid was off or whatnot. But it's an intended consequence of this act. It's an unintended consequence, which has consequences.
Right.
There will be more charges because of the injury to the police officer.
Now, would this fall under the same? I'm going to ask you some kind of law thing that you might not even know. I barely know. So like, let's say the mom who is hooked on heroin and is pregnant gives birth to a baby who's then hooked on heroin, and let's say the baby dies. what happens to the mom. Is that kind of a similar kind of thing with this? Because obviously, I know, it's blowing my mind too, but I have questions.
Well, there's a lot of children, newborn babies, who are born with controlled substances in their blood, which is just tragic. And those children, I mean, that's a whole nother show.
I know.
That's a whole nother show, and we'll have to have somebody from the court system come on, maybe the prosecutor's office, to discuss that. I've never handled a case such as that personally.
Okay.
But I do have some information. I want to deviate for a moment.
Okay, let's go.
I want to talk about, by the way, the state of Michigan, the governor has appointed the 5-member marijuana board. We're going to talk about those 5 members in a moment. But I want to talk about an open letter to all federal firearm licenses from the U.S. Department of Justice.
Okay.
But before we do so, the beautiful Brereton, Michigan, right off of 66, the far eastern edge of Mecosta County, their Lilac Festival has been going on since Friday.
Oh, okay.
It's going on this afternoon.
All right.
There's more to do out there in Brereton. Pony rides, flea market, food, the museum's open. The Lilac Festival, it's a great festival. I mean, Jim, Jennifer, everybody out there does it. Evelyn, everyone does a great job. Those that run the community, law enforcement, of putting this on. People come from all over the state and out of state to see the Lilac Festival. There's still time to get out to Brereton and participate. I was out there this weekend myself. I love it out there.
Now, I didn't know that there was a Lilac Festival in Brereton. I know there's one on Mackinac Island they have. It's beautiful.
Great community. Yeah. Papalani's is out there. They got Murphy's, great other restaurants, great business owners. Brereton's a great place, right off 66. So if you're at M20, between M20 and M10, right off 66.
I can also throw out there, this is the last day for the Mancelona Bass Festival. That's going on right now, too.
Small or largemouth?
That would be smallmouth bass.
Nice.
No, they had all kinds of entertainment this past weekend. There's music and food. I think they're having a pancake breakfast this morning, and then it wraps up today in Mancelona. So lots of stuff going on around
Great stuff around the state. In the Mitten State. Yeah. We're broadcasting. We're playing Genesis, by the way.
I know.
Home by the Sea.
Great song.
Kicking it hard. And we're in pure Michigan in the mothership right here. Hey, by the way, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives has received a number of inquiries regarding the use of marijuana for medical medicinal purposes and its applicability to federal firearm laws.
Okay.
And the purpose of this letter that I have in my possession is to give guidance and assistance to those who are licensed and must comply with the federal firearm laws and regulations. Okay, as you know, we've talked about this.
Right.
Federal law, 18 U.S.C. 922G parenthesis 3 prohibits any person who is an unlawful user of or addicted to any controlled substance as defined under the Controlled Substance Act, we've talked about that, from shipping, transporting, receiving, or possessing firearms or ammunition. And marijuana is listed in the Controlled Substances Act as a Schedule 1. We talk about that all the time. There are no exceptions, Craig, in federal law for marijuana purportedly used for medical purposes, even if such use is sanctioned by the state. The feds just do not allow it, and everybody knows that. And it makes it unlawful for any person to sell or otherwise dispose of any firearm or ammunition to any person knowing or having reasonable cause to believe that such a person is an unlawful user or addicted to a controlled substance. There's a lot of conflict going on
there. Yeah, that's crazy.
A lot of conflict. So there are other statutes where an inference of current use may be drawn from evidence of a recent use or possession of a controlled substance or a pattern of use or possession that reasonably covers the present time. Bottom line is, any person who uses or is addicted to marijuana, regardless of whether he or she or their state has passed legislation authorizing marijuana for medicinal purposes, it's unlawful and prohibited by federal law from possessing firearms or ammunition.
That is probably a law that is being broken more than the speed limit law in this state alone.
So, and there's a question on there. I mean, there's when you're applying for a firearm, you know, if the individual who's taking the application, if they're aware that the transferee is in possession of a card authorizing that possession or use of marijuana under state law, then you have reasonable cause to believe that the person is an unlawful user of a controlled substance. As such, you may not transfer firearms or ammunition to that person, even if the person answered no to the question on the form. There's an ATF form, 4473. So the ATF, federal government, the feds prohibit it. So this is in regards to firearms. And now, here's the question.
Okay. What's the question?
In Michigan, there's a transportation bill. So there, when the Facilities Licensing Act takes effect at the end of this year, and these transportation companies are transferring cannabis and funds, one, they have to be in unmarked vehicles. But the drivers of those vehicles cannot carry any firearms. I just read it. They cannot possess any firearms in the state of Michigan because the feds do not recognize cannabis, legal, medicinal, recreational, or otherwise. So how do you think those drivers are going to be protected? That's the question I want to ask you and the listeners.
They won't be.
Well,
they're not going to be.
Well, you're correct and you're incorrect. There is an answer. It's taking place in other states. Okay. And we come back from break right here on the Title 11 Law Show. We're going to come back strong with some Genesis, Home by the Sea. We're going to go to break. Rachel's in studio. Karen, we got Sal Goodman, bobblehead. Who is that other guy? Walter White.
Walter White.
The mothership here is just filled with all kinds of toys and green things here today. The grass looks great. Where'd the palm tree come from?
I have no idea.
I got it on my way back from Ogama County. That's I was heading towards Gladwin. We'll there go to break. We'll be right back. Images of sorrow, pictures of delight, things that go to make up a life. Endless days of summer, longer nights of gloom, waiting for the morning light. Scenes of unimportance, photos in a frame, things that go to make up a life. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in for the first time, I am attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting from the mothership, Black Diamond Group, in the middle of the mitten, pure Michigan, baby. We're broadcasting on 98.5 UPS, Rock 105, and 95.5. Big shout out, by the way, to my fraternity brother, Brian O'Boyle, otherwise known as Townie, listening from TC. I love Mr. Brian O'Boyle and his family. Teresa, great family. He's a SIGEP. We're brothers. Big shout out to Townie up there in TC, baby.
Fire up chips. You know
fire
who,
up
you,
chips.
You know who else went to Central?
I did. You did.
And you know who else?
Who else?
Your daughter, Rachel.
And she's got to go. Rachel, thank you so much for being on the show.
Craig, Dad, thank you for having me. It's truly been a blast. Hopefully I can come back soon.
Oh, yeah? You can come back anytime you want.
All right.
Anytime.
I love you, child. I'm so proud of you. You can never let me down. You never have and never will.
I love it. All right. Take care, everyone.
Rachel's out of here.
Yeah.
See you later, Ray Ray. She's out of here. Yep, she's doing great.
Here's a show she'll actually listen to.
I don't know. She's never listened to the show.
Hey, my kids never listen to me on the radio.
Well, you always hear parents who are in entertainment theater, I've never seen my mom on stage or whatnot, and so on and so forth. But before break, we were talking about the Michigan Transportation Bill that passed, part of the Facilities Licensing Act.
Right.
And what are transportation companies going to do because they can't possess firearms under the Department of Justice?
So my thinking was they weren't going to be safe. They're not going to be able to, if you're driving and you're transporting cannabis and you can't have a gun, I mean, that's got to be dangerous for the drivers. What are they going to do? They're not going to be safe.
Well, again, the law requires that they operate with unmarked vehicles. And it does pose a problem for law enforcement. Let's take the side of law enforcement.
Okay.
And big shout out to the Michigan State Troopers and the Prosecutors Association for bringing this point up at some of these meetings over and over. And again, you got to look at this objectively. Just because I'm an advocate doesn't mean I'm going to disagree with everything the other side says. These are some really good points.
Sure.
Law enforcement has a right to stop and inspect these vehicles under certain conditions.
Sure.
How are they to identify the vehicles to make sure they're complying with the state statute and all the regulations?
Well,
because they're unmarked.
They got to have some kind of, the drivers have to have some kind of ID.
No, I'm not saying that.
Identifying who they are and where they work
for. There's a
for.
Trooper sitting on 131, I-75, 127. And maybe they're doing, you know, compliance issues in regards to the new laws and regulations. And that on this day and time, they're looking for vehicles that are transporting cannabis. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm just giving this as an example.
Right.
They can't identify those vehicles. So my point is, the state of Michigan is putting forth regulations. The marijuana board has been put together. We're going to talk about the five members in a moment. By the way, there's three Republicans and two independents. No Democrats on the board.
Really?
Exactly.
That's interesting.
Well, it's a Republican governor.
Okay, I guess all that right? makes sense. Sure.
And by the way, little deviation, we'll get back to the transportation. There is an effort going across the state of Michigan right now. Look it up online. Just Google Jeff Irwin Coalition. putting together a ballot initiative to get rec on the 2018 ballot. And all of us agree it's going to be on the 2018 ballot to go rec. And the fact that the state of Michigan has gone about it the way it has with the medical marijuana first and all the problems we've had, and now the Facilities Licensing Act and all these new regulations, is setting it up so when it does go rec, it's not chaotic. Now, all the naysayers out there, and they bring up valid points because that's how they feel.
Sure.
I can't sit here and say all the people who are opposed to our position are wrong. They're entitled to feel that way. They're citizens just as you and I are. And I'm not going to badmouth them. I'm not going to badger them. I respect our democracy because we're not Republicans. We're not Democrats. We always say it. We are what?
Americans
first.
That's right.
So my point being is, though, what all the naysayers who put on seminars and speakers against cannabis, they use Colorado as an example to the citizens and say, look, you want what's going on in Colorado to come to Michigan because that's what's going to happen. And folks, guess what? No. Colorado went about it completely wrong. I mean, backwards. I almost said something on the air. They didn't do it the way Michigan has done it and other states have done it.
Well, Michigan and other states have learned from that. They learned from the mistakes that they made out there, and they're going about it the right way and doing it the right way. But getting back to the transportation question, I know we're jumping. I want to jump around, but I want to jump back to that for a quick second. My question is...
Here's the answer. Let me just give you the answer.
Give me the answer.
The question is, how are these vehicles be protected because they can't carry guns because of the federal government?
Right.
There'll be a vehicle in front of the truck and a vehicle behind the truck. And there may be off-duty law enforcement officers, security officials. There's a lot of great men and women out there who are in law enforcement that will become employed and they'll have second jobs, they'll make good money. There's a lot of great security companies popping up. So that's what's taking place in other states. There's an armed vehicle following the vehicle.
Now it makes sense. My other question was, since the states have enacted, were there now 18 of them where medicinal marijuana is legal? I don't know what the number is, but those states, the federal government, they're trying to make sure that people who possess marijuana and use marijuana or are even addicted to marijuana don't have firearms. Does the federal government, do they talk with the states to find out if you're somebody who has a medicinal marijuana card, and you're a cardholder and you try and buy a gun and you have to go through a background check, is there a way for the feds to check that to stop them from purchasing a gun or having anything to do with a firearm? Do they talk that way?
Well, there's on the application process, there's a question on there.
Okay.
In relation to drugs. And so the federal government, you're filling out a form here. And in the eyes of the feds, if you're a medical marijuana cardholder or caregiver, the feds look at that question, are you a drug addict? And the answer is yes, if you're a cardholder. So if you answer it no, and this is the big issue out there, and I get this question all the time, what's going to happen?
Right.
Well, if you're a cardholder or caregiver and you fill out that questionnaire, I'm going to tell listeners right now, you better tell the truth. If the federal government doesn't allow it, there's some issues there.
That's my question, though.
I have issues with this.
Right.
And as soon as it's removed from Schedule 1, and things are done differently, we have a right under the... we're big Second Amendment people, you and I. Mm-hmm. We believe in a Second Amendment, like wholeheartedly. We defend the Constitution. We believe in a Second Amendment. Big supporters here. And we're also advocates for what we're discussing here on a weekly basis. So obviously, I feel that there's such conflict out there between the states and the feds and the people of this country. Look, the minority have always ruled the majority of us. And the majority of people have spoken. We want to own our guns under the Second Amendment, and we want the right to use cannabis freely as recreational. That's what we want. And so those out there that are standing in our way, the elected officials, I can only say to the citizens out there, gather up, organize, put people in place to run against these people for office. Here's an example. All the townships out there, I might get some pushback on this. If you live in a township, and you would like to have a provisioning center in your township, and the township men and women are against it. Well, guess what? Those are elected officials. Run against them. Take their spot.
Mm-hmm.
There's no guarantee. Just because you're an incumbent doesn't give you a right to have that position for a lifetime, unless, you know, we're talking on a federal level here and it's an appointment to the United States Supreme Court.
Right.
My point is,
there are term limits
all
over
the place.
If you go
to a meeting, those people had to run for office. Gather up your friends in the community. Run against that person. Don't just sit by and just complain about it. So I say to all the board members, and it goes the other way. If there's a citizen out there who doesn't agree because their board is going to opt into the act, they also have a right to run against that person. Mm-hmm. It goes both ways. But I want to talk about the 5-panel marijuana board.
Yes.
Okay. Who are they? And this board is authorized, and they're going to hire about 100-plus staff members to assist them with the regulations that are going to be put forth that are control, you know, the licenses that are going to take place in Michigan. Donald Bailey out of Traverse City, former Michigan State police sergeant, 36 years of law enforcement experience.
Okay.
There you go. Nicole Cover from Mattawan. This lady is a licensed pharmacist and healthcare supervisor of Walgreens.
Okay.
And she currently serves as the chair of the Michigan Board of Pharmacy.
Okay.
And she has a lot of experience as an advisor in all different areas. And back, by the way, Mr. Trooper Bailey, very honorable man. We support law enforcement there. He does a great job. He was an attendee of the DEA's Drug Unit, Commander's Academy, and Northwestern University Center for Public Safety and Police Management. Rick Johnson, former Speaker of the House.
Okay.
The Senate Majority Leader. No, excuse me. He was the Senate Majority Leader. He will serve as the chair of the board, and he served as state representative from 98 to 2004, acting as Speaker of the House his last 4 years in office. And so we got 3 Republicans so far. We've got, according to my information, Mr. Bailey, Trooper Bailey, will represent Republicans. His term expires December of 2020. We've got Nicole Cover from Mattawan. She represents independents.
Okay.
Term set to expire December 31st, 2018. Rick Johnson, representing Republicans, mm-hmm. 2019 expiration. David LaMontagne.
Okay.
I hope I'm saying that correct. From all Monroe. Right. He's executive board member for the Police Officers Association of Michigan. I have a lot of friends who are members of the Police Officers Association of Michigan. He's a veteran of the Marine Corps. You know, thank you for your service, sir. And he has also held positions as a Hamtramck police officer and detective, hostage negotiator for Monroe County Sheriff's Office. He also will represent Republicans mm-hmm. until December 31st of 2019. 3 Republicans and 1 independent so far.
Okay.
And then Vicki Pickard from Bloomfield Hills. She's an independent, and she's a former director of public policy for General Motors. She's now a CEO of the Pickard Group consulting firm. So these are the 5 members that make up the Michigan Medical Marijuana Board.
Okay.
That Lara is part of.
Right.
Is overseeing.
Yep.
This board will now hire about 100 individuals. And if you're interested in one of those positions, just go online, call your state house, state senator, find out how you can apply for that. So what's your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are when we come back from breaks, we got to take a break. I have some questions because according to my count, 4 of those people do not appear to be, from just what you said, very cannabis friendly, and 1 possibly would be. And I want to get your thoughts on
that. I can't wait to give you my thoughts. Also, I want everyone to head out to the Lilac Festival in Brereton, Michigan today.
That's right.
We'll be right back. Images of sorrow, pictures of delight, things that go to make up a life. Endless days of summer, longer nights of gloom, waiting for the morning light. Scenes of unimportance, photos in a frame, things that go to make up a life. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in, I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt. Practicing, Craig, out of Central Michigan. I'm a defense attorney, 23 years plus, and I practice from Mount Pleasant, south to Gratiot, all the way across the bridge.
You are not only a practicing lawyer, but you're an advocate for cannabis in the state of Michigan.
CBDs, medicinal yep. aspects of it. There's a lot of good medicinal aspects of it. And we were talking earlier, we do have to answer a question because you did ask me a question in mm-hmm. regards to my thoughts about the appointees.
Right.
But one of the other pushbacks by the people on the other side is that there's not enough research into the plant itself to determine its medical capabilities, what it can do medically. And that's just false.
I saw some.
There's a lot of research out there.
I saw a story earlier this week, and for the love of God, I want to remember where it was from. But it was something to the effect of someone from like either the National Fraternal Order of Police or somebody like that, who said at this point, and you might have even you said that, they've kind of already moved on from marijuana as being a what they consider a dangerous drug. They've got more concerns with heroin, opioids, cocaine, that they've moved from on.
Well, they
heroin.
Call it a gateway drug.
Right.
And look, we're not substance abuse counselors.
No.
We don't work in that area.
Not at all.
Can I sit here and say that in numerous cases, cannabis has not been a gateway drug? I mean, you could say alcohol has been a gateway drug. You could say that about a lot of things. People, it's just, there's a lot of addictions out there.
Mm-hmm.
I argue, and I have said this, and I said it in Lupton last week, each and every one of you sitting there, how many of you will go home and drink tonight? How many of you know someone who's been the victim of domestic violence because of alcohol? How many of you, like someone in my family, I've watched, you know, watch an alcoholic be destructive and destroy the family? What is the equality in the number of accidents each year from alcohol versus cannabis? Nobody can provide me that statistic.
Nope.
I don't, because that's what the pushback is. And they say in Colorado, you know, all these crimes are up and this and that is up. Look, cannabis is already in your neighborhood. For those of you that are against it and you have a right to be against it, guess what? It's already there. Your township, your community now has an opportunity to benefit financially from these licenses being in your community.
And the state has a chance to benefit
and
from
the county,
all of this.
And
well.
The county doesn't even have a say in the county, which I don't agree with. Sorry, county people. The counties get to have their hands in it also. And it's just wrong. It should go to the local communities. But here's the thing. The state is going to control the THC level in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the big discussion and argument. Where's it? Because if you read High Times Magazine, great publication, they have, you know, competitions, you know, the best cannabis. Cannabis Cup is coming to Michigan.
Okay.
Clio. I believe Clio. I may be wrong. Down that way. But the level of THC will be controlled by the state of Michigan. So the fear of a lot of people who are going to be obtaining licenses is, well, if the state of Michigan regulates the THC level to such a low level in these dispensaries, you know, it's still going to create even a bigger black market than it is, because people have been, you know, Michigan has such a strong, you know, grow community that really grows quality. I'm just from being a lawyer.
Right.
Product with a high level of THC. So the question is, where the state can regulate it. But back to the 5-member board members,
right?
The 3 Republicans and 2 independents.
Now, my question for the, now explain to me, these are the marijuana board members. What is their purpose? What are they going to do? Are they going to decide which community gets a dispensary? Are they going to decide the price? What is their role going to be in
Well,
this?
It all starts with the Michigan Medical Facilities Licensing Act.
Okay.
Transportation bill. You have to start there. That is the structure and the guidelines of the law.
Okay.
It says you need to do this, that, and the other thing. And one of the things was the governor was supposed to appoint this 5 board member probably about 4 weeks ago. But he did it. It's okay. Here.
Yep.
They're going to develop regulations on how the entire industry is governed. It can't just be like, you know, a free-for-all.
Right.
It has to be governed. So they're going to put forth regulations, like I just said, about the THC, transportation, how dispensaries operate. I mean, there's just going to be a lot of regulations. The local communities can still enact their own ordinances, zoning and otherwise, in addition. But they're going to create regulations.
So in theory, the 5 members of this board understand that this is going to be a legal product to sell or to use, consume in the state of Michigan.
They're going to accept the applications in December of this year to start granting licensees their licenses.
So,
that's what they're there to do, and to make sure that everyone in the entire industry is complying with the statutes
regulations. When you read all the descriptions of the 5 of them, I was holding up fingers, and I figured out that 4 of them sounded like they would be anti-cannabis, anti-drug use. And 1, the pharmacist, wouldn't possibly be for it because of the medicinal qualities of it. So they couldn't determine, guess what? We're against this. We don't want it in this state. We don't want anything to do with it. They can't do that. They're already in agreement that it's going to be happening.
That board has to follow the statute.
Okay.
The statute. And they are empowered to do certain things under the statute.
Right.
Accept applications, deny applications. There's an appeal process. They're also going to be, we don't know yet what the application fees are going to be for these licenses. We do know that Class A, I believe, 500 plant is going to be $10,000. But the fees for everything else could be $50,000 a license. We don't know. And what is true is that the big companies, I feel, unfortunately, will push out the smaller.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad because I would like to see the people, the men and women who have been on the front lines, you know, able to benefit financially from this.
Now,
here's what I would say.
I will say, well, I'll say one thing. Much of the same way, and this has happened right here in our very own Mitten State of Michigan. The big breweries, talking about craft beer, what's the big boom now? It's the small, independent, local craft brewers in every community. There seems to be one or two breweries, every one. I think, even though I think big companies are going to get involved with this, I still think there'll be little, small people who will still they'll wedge their way in.
Here's what I say about the five board members. I have no problem with them. You may be shocked.
Okay.
Here's why. It's what I say to my clients all the time and people. If you're driving down the road and you're not doing anything wrong, then you got nothing to worry about.
Right.
The state of Michigan, if the state of Michigan wants to appoint these members to make sure, because of their law enforcement background and whatnot, that all these licensees are going to be strictly complying, then I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to lead to recreation. Would I have liked to seen a truck driver on there, or a single mother, or somebody like my friend Sandy, who has a lot of experience with CBDs? Yes. I would like to see, you know, your average daily hardworking iron worker, directional driller. You know, why can't these people be appointed? Because we have a Republican governor. I'm not knocking the Governor Snyder. I actually like Governor Snyder. He's done a lot of good things, believe it or not, under the expungement laws and driver responsibility. He's mm-hmm. done a lot of good things for mm-hmm. my clientele, believe it or not.
Right.
But I'm okay with it. Because if you send in an application to obtain a license, if you meet the requirements and you're strictly vetted, who cares who they are?
True.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you see my point? Yeah, I do. I totally see your point. And that was the thing that I was concerned about, because it's like, if some of these people, you would think their background would mean they'd be against marijuana use and against cannabis use, what could they do to maybe push their agenda, make it so incredibly difficult for people to get licenses that nobody will be able to do it, and thus it'll kill the industry right off the bat? Is it something like that? Could they do that?
The statute already makes it difficult. If you have a misdemeanor in the last 5 years, you're prohibited from filling out an application. If you've had a felony in the last 10 years. So there's already things in the statute in place that are very strictly and makes it very narrow. And the board, here's the thing. If you qualify, they must issue a license. Look, we don't know if there's going to be, out of the five different licenses, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. It's all up to the local communities. If the majority of communities across the state of Michigan decide not to opt in and have an ordinance drafted that complies with the state statute, then there's only going to be handfuls of these licensees. But the good news is that, you know, Bay County is allowing it in some aspects. I saw that on the news. I mean, there's townships and communities that are seeing the financial aspects because it's coming.
Mm.
Kalkaska.
Yep.
Pinconning. Traverse City. That, I can go on and on.
Facility in Kingsley that they want to build. That's okay, going to be.
Right. I mean, it's good. But on the other hand, in Detroit, I'm told that over 100 dispensaries have been shut down. Because right now, dispensaries are not legal under the state law, but they're being allowed to operate because the local communities who have sovereign, you know, governance of their local communities are the ones allowing it.
See, now
I'm not against it. We've talked about this.
I did see something on the news about that there was a dispensary. I want to say it was either in Traverse City or Alpena that was concerned because they were being allowed to run, but they were afraid of what was going to happen if the state ever caught wind of it. And that's got to be a concern in general. But if it's going to be so regulated, this is where I think where you're right. The big companies are going to come in. There's going to be big corporations.
The pushback from the other side also is that the youth are going to start smoking it. Guess what, folks? And I'm not saying I'm for this. The youth already has access to it.
Already are smoking
it. It's so hypocritical. Look, do I want, young children smoking, you know, I follow what the experts say in some cases in regards to development of some of their cognitive features. So my point is,
well, I'm going to say to you, before you say that, finish that question. Do you want young children to be smoking marijuana? Say no.
Well, hold on a second.
Because you didn't get to that.
Well, here's what I want to say.
Okay.
Here's what I said.
Okay.
I leave it to the medical experts, because let's talk about CBDs, which have less than 1% THC. I have read and have seen and have heard of individuals who have younger children with medical supervision who have had seizures and other issues. Try some of these CBDs and other products under medical supervision. And I'm not sure if the doctors, you know, are doing it. They're doing it to save a life, whether the feds allow it or not, or the pharmaceutical companies. I've heard of those. Do I want, you know, if the law says if you're under 21, you're not supposed to be smoking, then, you know, I'm with the law. I'm a lawyer. I have an oath, and I'm for the law.
Sure.
So if the law says you're under 21, you're not supposed to be drinking, then guess what? You're not supposed to be drinking. I mean, do we know what reality is? Yes. I go by what the law goes by and what the medical experts go by. That's my answer. And the laws are there for, in some cases, for good reasons.
Sure.
Hey, before we go, I just want to say something about the veterans out there.
Okay.
There's some good news in regards to the veterans and the Department of Veterans Affairs.
All right.
Those veterans who already participate in state marijuana programs will not be denied access to VA healthcare.
Oh, that's good.
So I would recommend, if there's any veterans out there, to just go on the website, the VA website under public health. Now, there's still a lot of things that need to be changed. And there's been some movement in the House and the Senate and at the state level to assist veterans on all different levels in regards to clinicians and what the VA medical staff and doctors can and cannot do. But there's, you know, right now they cannot be denied access to VA healthcare if they're currently participating in a state program. That's good, because the vets, you know, PTSD needs some help.
Yep.
And we support our veterans.
That's right, we do.
This was a huge show on Canada. There's a lot to talk about, Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle.
I know.
We can catch you every morning.
6 to 10, 98.5 UPS.
And on Saturday.
It's 92.
And if you missed any portion of this show.
SoundCloud, iTunes.
Podbean.
Podbean,
it's free.
Right.
It's podcasting for free.
That's right.
Look, we're going to continue to give the listeners and the citizens updates. And that's why this show was so important.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show. There it is in the books.
Yeah. Hey, what a huge show.
Big show. Thanks to your daughter, Rachel, for being here.
Appreciate her being here.
Yep.
Karen.
Yep.
Jen. Jackie. Walter. Sol.
Everybody.
And the audience here in the middle of the Minton in our green field, we had a captive audience today.
Yeah.
Albeit there are birds and animals flying around.
Well, sure.
But. Yeah. Hey, we have to go. I'm on my way to the Lilac Festival in Brereton.
I'm going to go back to bed.
All right. Craig, I want to say goodnight to you. Everybody out there, have a healthy, happy, awesome day. We'll see you same time, same place next week. Craig, what do you say? I'm not just a litigator. I'm an advocator. Take us out, Craig Russell, with a little Genesis. Endless days of summer, long nights of gloom, waiting for the morning light.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.